Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
Sean Finnegan. And later we will have James Duggan, our PC expert, talking about what he hopes to see on PC. So today we're going to discuss the Destiny 2 launch and compare it to the originals. Talk to James Duggan, who I just mentioned, about his hopes for the PC version of the sequel. And we'll chat about what we want to see most at the event next week. First, the news. GameStop posted some pictures of Destiny 2 hats online that have fans wildly speculating about what the new logos could mean for gameplay. Guesses include everything from new subclass logos, as they match the accents we see on armor revealed, to fans hoping that pets could be summoned. We'll let you know if that last one is true when we get hands-on time next week. Speaking of next week, IGN is having not one, but two live streams for the event. The first will begin at 9:45 a.m. Pacific, leading into the Bungie stream that we will be hosting before wrapping up with all the latest breaking news and impressions from our San Francisco office. Then we'll be live again at 8 p.m. with the Fireteam Chat crew with our impressions from the Los Angeles event after getting hands-on time with the game. You can also find the live streams on all of IGN's platforms, including our YouTube channel, Twitch channel, Xbox app, PS4 app, and of course on IGN.com. On the Destiny 1 front, Iron Banner is in full swing as Mayhem this week. It'll be running until the 16th at 2 a.m. Reminder, rewards again include the Clever Dragon Pulse Rifle, Silver Dread Machine Gun, chest and leg pieces. Server maintenance for Destiny 1 will also happen from May 17th at 10 a.m. Pacific until 2 p.m., so plan accordingly should you be looking to play at that time. The May 18th Destiny 2 reveal is next week, and I can't wait to bring you our next Fireteam Chat live from Los Angeles. But of course, stay tuned to IGN for all your Destiny 2 needs. So this week, our show was played by none other than CJ Gibson. It was.
Hey, thanks, yeah. Destin.
Oh, thank you, CJ. Thanks, so we're going to let you talk a little bit this time.
Just a tiny bit.
Will we?
Just a tiny bit.
We'll see. So the first one was about comparing Destiny 1's launch to the launch that we've seen thus far with Destiny 2. So going back to when Destiny 1 launched, why don't you go over some of the stuff that they did?
Yeah, I mean, early on, just even looking at the Metacritic score once it got released, I think overall the impression of Destiny was obviously huge, or the expectations for it were huge, and it disappointed. And I would say that's a pretty universal perspective that most people have. And so it's interesting to see now that this one's coming out, will that repeat itself again? Mm-hmm. I personally think they did a really good job the last year, if you were involved in Destiny, defining what the game is. Again, we call it a first-person shooter, but looter shooter, MMO, PvP. There's a lot of aspect that Destiny has that not many other games have. So it'll be interesting to see if it brings in new players into this fold. So,
So with Destiny 1, you know, you had the alpha and the beta. We all played those. We all seemed to like the game at that point. It wasn't until a little later when we were a little let down by the story and some of the grindy progression in the original version of Destiny. Now they corrected a lot of that with Taken King. Sean, do you think they've learned their lesson? Do you think they're going to fix this for Destiny 2?
I mean, I certainly hope so. Like, I think...
I was going to be like, great commentary, Sean.
Yeah, I mean...
Back to you, Destiny.
I don't think people had the expectation that Destiny would evolve as much as it did.
No.
But the fact that it did shows us great promise for the future. If the game launches and it ends up being short of expectation, that's not a bad thing because the game has lifespan beyond the launch window, and it'll evolve and it'll grow and it'll change and hopefully later on. I mean, I hope that they nail it out of the gate, but if they don't, it can improve much into the future.
And I think that's the biggest question is even to you guys, like looking for what Destiny 1 was, now that we know it, especially for us where we've played it from the beginning, do you think that if people went into it early on thinking that, okay, this is not just going to be, this is what the content is on day one, you know, now you see the roadmap over the last 2 years. Is it fair to, I mean, even revising scores, like some people did that, you know, is Destiny a 6? I don't think so, but it got a lot of low scores early on when it was revealed. So I'm curious to think that what you guys think about
that. Well, we've reviewed Destiny at IGN through its iterations. Like Taken King got a high score. You know, Rise of Iron, a lot of people felt, our editor at the time felt like that a lot of the enemies were reskinned, rightfully so. It was a lot of the similar enemy types. But I guess I don't know how I feel about the final product. I would have to like really analyze every little piece about it. Fran, do you feel like it evolved? And obviously it did evolve into a better product by the end of its life cycle.
Yeah, I don't know. I was restraining myself. I feel like there's a little too much commentary on like it disappointed and like those are a bit, I get what you meant by that, by the way, but like what I chalk that up to is I think everybody expected this team, you know, Team Halo come out with their next new franchise. It's going to be bigger than Halo. It'll be like Halo and it's going to be open world and like all these expectations. And certainly, Bungie talked about some things that got people excited, but they never promised anything specific. And then, yeah, as we came to find out, it kind of wasn't fully formed when it launched. And I agree that that was like a mismanaged expectation, but you know, there's definitely people out there who are like, no, I thought it was great at launch. Like any review, you know, it's always really important to remember that is like you're listening to one person's opinion. That doesn't mean like when IGN's reviewer reviews something, that is their opinion, their singular opinion. And so, yeah, there are other people here like myself. I was like, no, I didn't feel that it was the score that it was. I liked it better than that. And I saw the potential. They made some quick changes, released Dark Below. So I'm not defending that it didn't have problems. It absolutely in the beginning. I just remember almost like wandering in the wilderness at level 20, right? And I'm like looking at that grind and it was what's something happening? I hadn't done in a while. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, what's going on with this? It's so hard to kind of get where I want to be. But like you guys said, they changed that and they've learned a lot. So yeah, I, talking about Destiny 2 have said this a lot. I think they've learned a lot of lessons. I think they learned them all the way back towards Taken King. We saw those changes. We saw the changes with the cutscene tone. I think they're diving in right into more of that like fun, more comedic commentary that we've seen from Cade. And likewise, just from balance and structure. So, yeah, I mean, I expect Destiny 2 to be a different beast, even though it's going to have the core of what Destiny is. But in particular, the big thing I always point out is I feel like there's going to be this campaign focus. And I don't know I mean by that, but you know what I mean? Like looking at the cover and the idea that Destiny was almost like strikes and raids and PvP. And when the campaign was like you went through some strikes, I feel like there's going to be a bigger focus. And that's what I'm hoping for. I know we're going to talk more about that.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, every press release they've sent – well, they've sent out one press release and there was one separately sent with email. But the focus is definitely cinematic storytelling. They made that very clear. But, I mean, they said that about the original. I think they know that they need to tell a great story this time around so that you can get rid of all those people – still has a better story than Destiny.
Yeah.
You know, memes and such that the original kind of still has with it. Mm-hmm. Sean, what are some of the things you hope that they address with this gameplay reveal next week?
Well, like I said before on multiple episodes, I would love to see some variation. It'd be great to not just see the PvP modes, but also see some of the feedback that the community has given to them. Personally, I've talked about vehicles a lot of times. Like, I would love to see some variation in that regard. And then the main sort of feedback that I think every player that is a fan of Destiny has is the story. And I do want to see a cool mission, love to see some cutscenes or something like that, that just gives us a sense of what that campaign is going to be like.
You think we're going to get a beta date? I mean, one of the things they did pretty early on is they announced that they were having a beta for Destiny 2 and Destiny 1.
I'll bet you we do not get one. I'll bet you they save that for E3.
Okay.
Yeah.
CJ, any final points that you want to hit on with this topic?
I just think overall, yeah, looking at everything they would have learned. And again, Bungie's really good at listening to the community. Of all the game devs out there, they, I think, do a really good job at balancing what they want to do personally as a studio and then taking feedback from, you know, fans, players, content creators, and all that stuff. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they've implemented into Destiny 2. But, yeah, I'm super excited that, it's just, you know, 6 days away from finding out.
Do you think they're setting up expectations properly this time versus with the original?
That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. I think for us, it's easy to say because we've been following Destiny. I'm actually really curious to think, you know, people like James and who haven't maybe followed it or who were in that early part of vanilla Destiny and then dropped off, are they going to be brought back? I definitely think the PC will bring a new set of audience members to it. That I think has remained to be seen, actually. So.
I mean, but as a dev or a publisher, you can only manage audience expectations so much, right? Mm-hmm. Like part of the audience or part of the expectations is what the audiences are hoping to get. Mm-hmm. Well, there's really control that.
There's two things happening there. The audience feels misled by the marketing materials that the publisher puts out, and the publisher is trying to make their game look as best as it possibly can.
You think that's happening here, though?
I don't know.
The audiences are misinterpreting.
So here right now, I talked to people in the office like Marty and Ryan who haven't really played it. They watched that trailer like, who's Cade? I mean, he seems cool.
They don't know.
They're just still wishy-washy on it.
Yeah.
So I think this gameplay reveal is going to be their first opportunity to bring back those people who feel burned if they're going to give it another chance and get people enticed by the campaign storytelling.
It's hard to latch onto a game before seeing the gameplay. I mean, I get that the cinematic trailer tells us something, but I think, yeah, I would agree with people who are like, I don't know. I mean, it's not a game. It's like a piece of a movie, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think once they see the game, and that's what I'm looking for. Like, if it looks still like Destiny gameplay, but it's just got some of these cutscenes, I don't think that's going to sell people that it has some funnier, fun cutscenes. And again, I don't think that's their focus. I think that, yeah, the epic feel of the whole thing. It's not just an epic storyline, hopefully. It's hopefully an epic campaign feel. Again, my expectation. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't remember the very first marketing material we saw. I know some of the early stuff was the group of group of Guardians fighting the Cabal.
It would have been leaked posters from GameStop. Remember?
Well, the leaked posters, but that's leaked stuff. Well, no, it was the leaked document, actually. We broke that story for the original Destiny. They leaked that document with
Destiny,
all the early,
you're talking about Destiny
early
2,
concept art. Oh, yeah, for Destiny 2, the posters for sure. But like going back to that time, it was interesting to see the original stuff they talked about. Like, I remember the trailer with the Guardians fighting the Cabal and the storytelling aspect of it. And then the Vidoc. The Vidoc came out pretty early talking about the world they were trying to build. And they gave us like a tease of what gameplay is going to be like.
I remember that a lot. And I don't know if it was at E3 or whatever, but that whole public space demo.
Yeah. It doesn't exist. Well, I mean, yeah, the area does, but
not like it was.
In,
yeah. That's what I remember most visually. And I think most people were there, like, just some Guardians venturing out. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what is that? And like, it felt like part of, this sort of bigger epic sprawl. But then as it turned out, it was like randomly spawning, like, waves of enemies that drop in, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't pan out how it looked in there.
And even early on, I mean, I played the beta and the alpha, and, you know, I actually liked the game and the mechanics and the way it felt. I wasn't into Destiny the way I am now at first because, I mean, you couldn't play Crucible right off the bat. Mm-hmm. That alone, I was like, why do I have to grind this campaign that I really don't want to do to open up Crucible? I thought that was really odd. It makes sense now, and I know they're going to do something probably a little bit similar. But, it's hard to figure out, if you haven't played Destiny and then start from scratch, will this game bring you in if you're not a fan? I mean, that I don't know. I think that, yeah, they're definitely going to need to nail the storyline and make it really engaging to bring those people back in, right? So.
But again, I get the storyline problem, but I just felt it was really blown out of proportion because like the gameplay is what matters most to me. And so Destiny has the same problem. It doesn't matter how interesting your storyline may be and how you weave that in. I mean, that certainly can bring people in, but the gameplay just has to be changed, actually. It has to be. That's what I don't know what to expect, but I'm expecting something that's a little different with the way that it rolls out and feels. Because if it's not whatever, more action in the way that you get guns or the way that cutscenes integrate themselves into the campaign or whatever, right? It would just be more strikes.
Yeah.
And it can't be that.
Right now we have morsels, but soon we're going to get the full meal in Los Angeles next week on May 18th. We've swapped out CJ Gibson for James Duggan, who is here with us right now to talk all about the PC version of Destiny. Duggan, what gets you most excited about seeing this this game come to a new platform?
It's going
to
be a whole new audience, I think. And hello, everybody.
Yeah.
But hello. It's going to be a new audience, in not just the sense that I think that there's going to be a third more people playing Destiny. I think that Destiny works so fundamentally on PC at a high concept level that I think it will potentially be the most popular platform for the game. And I'm really curious to see, this is something, you know, since the inception, I think, of World of Warcraft, which is like the first iteration of an MMO. Obviously, it's not totally proper to call Destiny an MMO, but it certainly has some elements like that. And that kind of game just works on PC. The PC crowd wants that. The PC crowd has been in a drought for MMOs for a very long time. Your options right now are World of Warcraft, EVE Online, maybe like Tor, or perhaps the Elder
City
Scrolls.
City of Heroes.
Yeah, if you kind of want it, there's so many dead MMOs. Yeah. That hurts. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of features that I think the PC crowd is going to want,
so,
and potentially need.
Fran won't let me play PC games at IGN. Just
what? That is not true. Duggan, you play a ton, yeah. And you used to play a ton of World of Warcraft. And
Yeah. I've been off and on.
What are some of the bespoke features they could have been discussing?
Well, it could be anything from anything as small and kind of menial but essential to a chat, right? Being able to chat with the keyboard, being able to do things like link items, invite people via the chat. This is essential features that I could oversee them overlooking, I guess. And that would be, I don't think great for anybody, but I do want to kind of stress that I think that they could kind of mess up a little bit and still be totally okay just because of how barren the MMO PC landscape is. And I think even if it doesn't have some of these essentials, I think it'll still do just fine on the PC. And then maybe post-launch we can see.
As long as it plays well, right?
Right. So chat, item linking, inviting party members through the chat, PC exclusive balance. Mm-hmm. I think you guys may have talked about that last episode.
Yeah, Sean, you talked about it a little bit last week.
We talked a little bit about Overwatch being independently balanced on PC versus console. I texted you, Doug, and being like, you can weigh in here.
Yeah. I was streaming.
Confirm. Overwatch is independently balanced for console and PC because on console and PC, it is kind of a different game. I don't know how I feel about Destiny doing that, but if it is something that's necessary in order to make the game what it needs to be on both platforms, then sure. I guess I'm all for that.
Is that one of the areas they could mess up, you think?
Potentially. I don't think it would be the end of the world if it was balanced kind of in a sweeping motion across all platforms. That'd be okay, especially for stuff like PvE. I don't really know that there's a good example of somebody balancing content for PC PvE and then console PvE. But other features are PC UI elements, I think, are pretty fundamental, like opening up the paper doll of your character, which is your inventory screen, dragging gear out, dragging gear in. It's this stuff that seems pretty menial, but it's really important, I think.
Well, like in Destiny 1, I feel like that would be really powerful, especially with, like, right now we use external applications to build our T12 builds, which are like maximizing your supercharge recharge versus your grenade recharge versus your melee recharge. Now on PC, you could set up hotkeys basically to say, put on this build quickly, right?
You could, and that's kind of up to the developer, and that kind of speaks to the balance thing we were talking about, because if I can swap out armor mid-combat and get some completely different set of stat bonuses, then that's a game changer.
That'd be awesome.
You can only do on PC, but I don't necessarily know that that's something that they should focus on. They should focus definitely on an uncapped frame rate. And then I think the other thing is like maybe mod support. If you look at World of Warcraft, a lot of the stuff that I want in Destiny 2 is stuff like a DPS meter. I know that's pretty controversial.
How is that controversial?
Just a lot of people don't feel as though they need it. So it's this mindset that, look, the mechanics are what's important here. But yes, if you're mastering the mechanics, you will be doing more damage because you won't be spending as much time. And this is something that has been around in WoW for a very long time.
But haven't we all – okay, and now I'm talking to you guys because you haven't played Destiny 1 yet on console. Haven't we all –
some of the beginning.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, I'm being a little – sweeping. What I mean is we've all been in that raid group where we're pretty sure one of those dudes isn't doing
much. He's not doing the work, yeah.
Like, wouldn't it be nice to be like, look at the meter. I can tell you're just sitting there. Can't you do more? Or like that kind of thing. I feel like...
Yeah, and that's something that happens in worlds. So it's divisive in WoW too, because you have people who are like, oh, I'm so geared and I come in this dungeon that's way underneath my, you know, way lowbrow for me, and then I'm just spamming the damage meter in chat. Look at how good I am. But so yeah, that could potentially... enable a little bit more toxicity in group PvE. Yeah. But to your point, it's essential for people who are actually interested in progression and who are actually interested in being proactive and productive. Like, if all four of us, we feel as though we're competent players and one of our DPS is really low, it's like, okay, wait, what are you doing wrong? Oh, you're not doing this mechanic. You're not standing in this area that gives you,
you can help your
in the second teammates. Phase. Right. It can be a tool. It helps instead of hurts.
Yeah, that one to me feels like a deeper one that, like, I get why you might want that and why the PC crowd might be more used to it. Feels like one Bungie, that's like a little too deep, I think. Yeah, to me, they feel like, yeah, they like the community spirit. They love people are out there testing weapons, trying to figure it out without it just being like on screen as clear.
Talking to Derek during the Rise of Iron launch, he brought up like why they don't have Elo in the game, and it's because you'd be obsessed with that number.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason why we don't have the DPS meter in Destiny 1 is because philosophically they're like, well, we don't want one person necessarily being like put down extra because there's an easy stat to point to.
I mean, I think people understand though that, like, okay, so if you're not high up on the DPS meter, maybe you're not the one who's doing damage. So for instance, like Golgoroth is one of the encounters in Taken King where there is a damage meter. Yeah. I know that because we had to pull footage for
it. That's what's so weird to me about it. It's like,
but there's
kind of already there.
But. Yeah, but there's one person or potentially two people, depending on your strategy, who are taking the gaze the whole time. So obviously they're not damaging. So obviously they'll be lower on the meter. That kind of stuff makes sense. Also, just a side note for non-MMORPG people, DPS meter is kind of a misnomer. DPS isn't the only thing that that damage meters measure. They also measure like healing or any other way that people are contributing to the raid.
Right. Stuff like deadly boss mods for WoW can tell you how many times you got hit by a particular telegraph.
Yeah.
It can really be a tool that you can either use to like put down your teammates, but nobody at high level progression rating is really interested in that. They're interested in clearing the content. So what are they going to do? They're going to take that data and use it in a way that helps the entire team.
So talking about the console version of Destiny, why did you stop?
That's a really good question. I guess having 12 years of WoW experience, I play a ton of FPSs too. I'm a big Overwatch guy. Currently, I'm obsessed with PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
I'm trying desperately to get the IGN audience on my side with that game. It is so good. I don't know. It could potentially come to console, but man, it's just great.
Yeah, you made a very funny video, actually. It was,
it was
11 kills.
11 kills, 2 minutes.
It's kind of fun. Yeah.
Really fun game. But anyway, so having played WoW and coming into Destiny and seeing what it was trying to do, understanding the mindset that it was the shared world shooter that was kind of based around the tower, this social space with all these areas that you could explore that were instanced. That was okay. I'm not a huge sucker for open worlds and MMOs because I've gotten burned by that before. I'd like to bring up Wildstar as a great example. That's an MMO that had a very big open world, relatively large open world quest content for days, but it had some of the best group PvE content at endgame of any MMO I've ever seen, and like 1% of the player base experienced it because it was locked behind this 90-hour open world grind. To me, Destiny makes a lot of sense where you have this hub, you have these various activities you can do, whether it be PvP, whether it be raids, whether it be strikes, and you kind of launch into those from there. So I would love to see an abundance of really good strike content, maybe randomized strikes. But in Destiny 1, it just didn't really feel there at launch. And actually, when stuff like The Taken King came out, and I heard everybody talking about the various raids and how great they were, I was a little bit like, oh, man, maybe I should have stuck with that, you know? But very much for...
Once you're that far behind, you just know you have this huge barrier to get over.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad, though, but I had heard from you, which is why you're on right now, I believe, which is you are a big PC player, right? Like, it's kind of more your home base. I think if it was on PC, do you think you might have given it a shot back
then? I probably would still be playing it currently.
Yeah, see,
and me and all my friends, you know, like, it's just weird to go from a platform that you play every single day to one. And I can understand the inverse being somebody on a console going to PC. But a lot of, like, some of the stuff that I was doing in Destiny, I was like, man, I wish I could just do this with a mouse. And not just aiming. I'm talking about managing my UI. Like the third-party mod that lets you sort your vault is a great example. Right.
There's people out there who actually play with keyboard and mouse, like on Xbox, for example, because that's just how they play games.
Sure.
You have any other points you want to hit on? A bunch of stuff right now.
I do. Oh, LFG. Let's talk about LFG.
Yeah, it's totally there.
So it needs to be there in Destiny 2, and I think
in the game,
right? And the biggest deterrent for me for Destiny 1, to your point, talking about why I stopped playing, was I got past the raids that I was being matchmade for, and you know, matchmaking is fine, that's cool, but then I got to a point where it's like, okay, I'm ready to start doing some more difficult content. The game doesn't offer me the tools, and I need to go on a subreddit.
Yeah,
and that was like furthering the thing that, like, okay, you need a PC to play this game actually, or at least like a laptop to utilize stuff like Dim, stuff like the Fireteam subreddit. Yep. And it was just like, this is the most essential tool that needs to be in the game. And I want to clarify, LFG means looking for group. It's a tool that you bring up, and basically you can specify what that's for. It doesn't even have to be a strike. It could be like, hey, loot cave, you know, mm-hmm. elite loot cave group, like light level, right. whatever plus.
Well, that's for me. I've seen it work in Final Fantasy 14. Sean, you played a ton of World of Warcraft. Yeah. How do they handle it there?
Well, I mean, the game's changed a lot, especially in the LFG part of the game since I played. Like, I played from vanilla up until Wrath of the Lich King, end of the Wrath of the Lich King, which was like, what, like 07 or 08 somewhere? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, even then, I've been out of the game for like 10 years now. But back in the day, there was a number 4 channel in any social space, which you could immediately join and look for group there. And then two, there was a tool that you could queue yourself up for things that were instance, like dungeons, where you could specify, I am this role, DPS, healer, tank, or just general support, and I want to play this raid or this strike, well, I'm striking dungeons.
Sure. Yeah.
And then basically it would queue you up with a bunch of people who weren't even necessarily on your server at the end, right?
Well, yeah.
That became cross-server.
Well, it's completely cross-server now.
Yeah. So like back in the day, World of Warcraft MMOs, they have servers that have somewhere, you know, huge amounts of player bases. And so there were multiple servers that you played on. Not all of them were shared, but then those activities became shared, which made it just easier for people to find group no matter what server they were on.
So I'd like to point out that this is not the same as matchmaking. So this is not me anonymously queuing into a system and being matched with players that I don't know if they have a microphone. I don't know what their light level or skill level as a player is.
Which is how Destiny has handled it to this point. Sure. And what I think a lot of people latch onto. And every time I've pitched for LFG on the show, I'm like, they can create something new you haven't seen before. Because we've seen it in Final Fantasy 14 and it works pretty well. We've seen it in Star Wars, or at least those are games I've played where I've hopped in with groups, LFGs, and found a competent team.
Sure. And it can be a tool to allow you to meet new people that are interested in doing the same kind of content you want. Again, it's one of those tools that I think people are a little bit scared or apprehensive to try, but once you try it, you realize, like, wow, this is the system. And there can still be matchmaking, too.
The reason being is because, like, the communities that spawn sort of in to fill that LFG void in Destiny did have a problem, at least towards the beginning of, like, if you don't have a Galahorn,
get out.
Yeah. And that's like, just player behavior, man. I think that's going to happen no matter what you do.
Yeah. And what were you trying to say?
No, I was just going to say, well, people do use LFG all the time. It's just not in the game, and that is a big barrier. So it's like we are used to using a tool like that, but you have to, like you said, you got to use your phone or a laptop, and it's on the side, and it's just not like – it's not quick and easy to monitor that while you're playing. And like, that's definitely, yeah, that's what I want in the game. You know, I think on PC, it makes a lot of sense because there's a lot of information there. And how do you build that in the game? But anecdotally, I'd love to see it on every, you know, platform. It's like, why can't I just say, I'm going to do this. I'm wanting it to be these parameters. Join me if you would like to play. And like, there's a place that someone can just go and say, join, you know, like, meaning solve that part of it, because the way it's handled today is off the screen on another website or whatever, and it
or on your Xbox UI.
Taxing.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Side note: functionality right. for LFG does have, games like have
which
does
is great. But you know, about the final point that I want to make here is that all of the really great features in World of Warcraft that have come around, like LFG, like the adventure guide that lets you see loot that drops from various things, put it on your character. They all came from mods or third-party sites or something. They all came from functionality that the community decided they needed and created a solution for, and Blizzard has just brought that into the game. So I feel like that's essential, bringing Dim into Destiny 2, bringing like the Fireteam subreddit, basically an LFG system, into Destiny 2. That's the kind of stuff.
What's Dim?
Destiny Item Manager.
Exactly.
Oh. You use it.
I knew that acronym.
Stop using it.
I wasn't just feigning.
No, I use the mobile app nowadays.
That's Ishtar.
Oh, no, you just use the regular Destiny Companion app, really.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it works, but like it's so much more limited versus some of these other ones.
I used Destiny Item Manager for a while, but then like the plugin needed to be updated and it broke. And I remember getting really nervous about like transfer an item.
Yes,
and
that
would show up and I'd be like.
It was like before Taken King, I think.
Yeah, but I was using it during Taken King and I just got really nervous that I would one day transfer over my Galahorn and it would get lost in the ether and I would just.
It doesn't happen anymore.
It's great. I mean, it's been crucial to me, but you do have to have a laptop next to you or whatever. Yeah. It's not.
So no, I just got used to it. Like if you know where to look and where your items are, it's not too bad to use the companion
it's
app.
It's a pain though.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go ahead and say it's the most elegant solution for what you're trying to do. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was a big MMO person at one time. What the community wants to do and the ability to design mods and functionalities to support that, like, it works best in that space, and I would love to see Destiny do the same thing. I was just wanted to point out, like, they had a library mod back in the day where any item you saw, it archived into a library. So even if you didn't have the item, you could show your friends it and be like,
"Oh yeah,
check out this truth that I never got, but look at the stats. It's awesome." It just makes it just like those types of mods would be really cool if the community had the ability to build them.
Yeah.
Duggan, any final points?
That's about it. I guess the PC, I know this is going to be difficult to hear, but the PC is kind of the home of the MMO in a lot of ways. And I think Destiny 2, we're all understanding the PC, it's going to be pretty relevant. But I think a lot of us are underestimating exactly how massive it could potentially
it's
be
not hard to hear.
If they do it right.
So
right
good now, MMOs have been on console?
I don't know.
Right now, you know, we're putting out these polls, and the audience, the core audience is Xbox and PS4, so the numbers are very high there. Because the PC audience isn't necessarily like ingrained the way that the console audience is right now. I think we're going to see a boom with the PC audience.
I agree.
And you're going to be doing a ton of coverage.
I'll be doing a bunch of PC coverage, very kind of in-depth expert stuff, and a lot of kind of funny content. That's another thing that I like. I attempt to be funny. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But hopefully with the Destiny 2 content, it will.
Sides are splitting. Look at this guy's. No, Doug, it is hilarious. Check out his PlayerUnknown feature. Actually, I thought it was really awesome. Good. I know it's separate, but he basically, if you don't know how that game goes out, like, you summed it up in an awesome way. And yeah, we're going to be getting that type of content. You did our top 10 things we want to see in Destiny 2. Yeah.
You talked to us. It's okay.
I did. No, I'm always interfacing with these guys because I'm like, I don't want to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, even though I don't know what I'm talking about with Destiny yet. Keyword. Yeah. But when it comes to PC, I will be 100% all about it. And I think there's a ton of players just like me.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We're going to be hearing more from you soon.
Yes.
We're going to swap out James Duggan now and bring CJ back to talk about our last topic, and that is the top three things we are excited or want to see in the reveal next week. So, CJ, what are some features that you want to see in Destiny 2 most?
I'm back. Yeah, it's interesting. We've talked about all kinds of different things the last few weeks, and one of the things is like a bit of a throwback, but can you imagine split screen? Now, it's not a big deal, but Fran, don't do that.
Irrelevant.
No, CJ's off the show. See you next time.
I wouldn't mind it, but that's your top priority.
No, but it just thinking the last few months here about all the things we've talked about, it's one of the things that doesn't come up anymore. And the fact that, like, they've eliminated
it. Does if you're talking Halo.
But that's what I mean. Halo actually lost it for Halo 5.
They were like, whoops.
And everybody was like, oh, well, that's no good. Now they're bringing it back for Halo 6. So it is one of those things where that is a legit thing. Like, if it did have split screen.
Makes sense for Halo, not so much for Destiny.
Well, okay, but what is the next Destiny going to be? I mean, it really could be one of those features where if they did have it, again, we're discounting it, but it could be a cool thing where, I mean, even for me, like I talked last week about wanting to play with my kids. I don't want to buy 5 PlayStations or 4 PlayStations. It would be cool to have split screen, even if it was just 2 screens.
Yeah, playing a strike with your kid. Like, yeah. I do think that's great.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, is that my top? Okay, probably not. So don't shame me for that.
I like that you, boiling down the community reaction to Halo losing split screen is like, oh shucks, they took that feature away.
No,
I think it was a little more angry than that.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. So if you think about all the things that Halo and, you know, Bungie did early on, that's one of those things. Again, people have just accepted that it's not there now, but it'd be really cool if they had. So I would say that, just because I probably am sure that that's not on your list.
Kart racing.
Don't even.
It's called Sparrow Racing.
Yeah, and then.
Right.
I would say then the number one feature, even thinking about PvE, and it was interesting to hear Duggan's take. Everybody talks about, you know, competitive Destiny and all these other things.
Power Glove.
That's right. Let's bring that back. No, I think that even just thinking about esports and all that stuff, Destiny, we keep on comparing it to World of Warcraft. That is not a PvP type game. Like, if you think esports.
Walk that back.
I know.
That's just totally wrong.
Game a big
totally.
It
is.
Did, yeah. But I mean, if you think about the context of, like, no, a first person shooter PvP, I'm just saying. It has elements, but.
You are correct. World of Warcraft is not a first person shooter PvP.
Just saying, overall, it's weird to see Destiny, we're comparing it to that all the time, and I mean, is the esports thing important to Destiny? Sure, but again, looking at all the comments the last little bit, everybody talks about wanting it to be that. I think it does alienate some people, so Duggan's talking about the hardcore PC audience, that's the danger, I think, with skewing it to that direction. They don't want to lose people, so.
They don't need to skew it to that direction. All we're talking about is having the option to play at that level.
Yes.
You don't have to utilize those tools. You can have your base Destiny.
Yes.
Which is kind of what we have. And then players that play at an advanced level, you use DIM, right?
Yes.
The average player does not use DIM. They just go to the tower and mess around with their stuff.
Right.
You know, you gotta like find this stuff on the internet, basically. Like, yeah. How can I be better at Destiny? Well, you need to use DIM and you need to use LFG sites.
Yeah.
And stuff
does
like
DIM
that.
Does DIM really make you better at Destiny though?
DIM is the only way to organize your vault in a way right now that makes any kind of
just
sense.
Be like me and dismantle everything.
It's a great way to educate yourself more easily because you can see everything really easily.
It gives you a stat rundown of all your gear too. So like if you want to build a T12 build, you don't have to like manually search for that. It tells you, here's the best set you could possibly wear for this character. Yeah. Which rollout do you want? Do you want 4-5?
Or like
4-5?
Every time you look at your armor, you're looking at a percentage of how good it is. It's like, oh crap, that is an 87. Like, I need to get rid of that. Like it reminds you of things you kind of living with otherwise.
Oh, my range stat on that gun's 68, but this one's 70. You know, I definitely want the 70 range stat.
Such a tryhards.
So let me be more concrete and just say that I want a massive world. Let's envision, you know, 30 plus players in a public event. Something like that where you could join in and you have big, massive social space. After seeing the Call of Duty thing, I think I counted like 40 or 50 some people within that area. That would be cool. Is that able to run at 60 on console? I don't know. I mean, what if something like that happens, right? You know, those kind of scale.
You're on Scorpio.
Oh, there it is. So, yeah, something like that, I think that would be super cool.
Definitely. I mean, for me, I've talked about it a lot on the show. The thing I want to see, and I think we all want to see the most, I want to see a fantastic campaign. I don't want to hear those comments about, like, still a better story than Destiny. I want a good campaign that everybody can get invested in because I think that's how you get those lapsed players back. You get a compelling narrative, which lets them do the grind for that next piece of story content, and that will keep them going.
Fran shaming you. Look at
Oh, I wasn't. I was just thinking about Varix in the new story.
Yes, guys.
Oh, geez.
Varix will die. Varix dead.
I literally was thinking about Varix.
Eris is going to turn. That's my prediction.
What if it's like, what if it's really cheesy, like, you go to the reef and everybody's like, hey, we've missed you, Guardian. How's it going? You want to have a soda?
Yeah, have a soda. Exactly.
Made a tea, right?
But yeah, sorry. I think we threw you off track. But yeah, you want an epic campaign that
and that's what they're
talking
promising.
About, right?
So it's not, like, I always thought they would come out for the sequel of Destiny 2, eat some humble pie, be like, yeah, we made some missteps in the beginning and we're making it up to you with the sequel. We want you back. Yeah. They haven't done that yet. I think they're just going to show rather than tell. They're just going to be like, here you go. We'll let you decide what you think of our game. We're not going to eat humble pie, as I said. And they'll just make what the community has been asking for, as they have done time and time again as they've improved the product.
Yep.
So that's definitely my number one thing is a campaign. Next thing, some sort of I guess I'll go back to the LFG thing. Definitely some better ways in game to handle that sort of stuff. Like right now, let's look at private matches in Crucible.
Yeah.
Why does that not have matchmaking? It has to be a server limitation or something that they have. But like, if I want to queue up for Sparrow races, right now I have to find five other people who are willing to do Sparrow races. It's just, ideal. It's not ideal, and it's fantastic that they have private matches. I just wish they would have had matchmaking. Yeah. So like,
I think they were busy with Destiny 2 is the problem.
Probably. Yeah. But
but you're right. Yeah, it should work that way. There's no question it should work that way.
But as the game's population decreases, we've had that conversation before. It's like, who knows how many people are really searching for Sparrow Racing? And I mean, even looking at Titanfall.
Destinel.
But it's one thing if it's optional, right? Like even today, right? They limited which match types you can play. And what if I need to do Rift for the book and like now I got to wait until next week? And it's like, but the point I think Destin's making, which is a good one, is like, well, why don't I have an optional area where I might be able to like kick back and wait for someone to join? Like, why not?
I think that's the key. Right now, you play some of the matches that I'm only using Titanfall because I was a big fan of that game. The numbers aren't there. So you're right. Kick back and wait. Hey, I want to do Sparrow Racing. Oh, sweet. I got a match in 40 minutes. Which is what would happen if population.
And that's to be tested, though.
The way that a lot of MMOs handle it is you queue up for something, you go do something else. Until it's
right. Exactly. Like, division is that way.
Check it out. Your Sparrow Race thing is right. You still want to do that? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, like a queue.
Hop in and do it.
Yeah, that's a great way. Like the opt-in.
That'd be really good.
Division does that, and I like the way that that works.
So my final thing is definitely from the rumors, and that is the rumored towns that they're going to have and plenty of new things to discover. and just look at there, learn about the characters in that outpost. What was it like in the city? What are we going to find when we go to the city for the first time?
Yeah.
Are we going to find other guardians that we didn't know about? Are we going to find just normal humans that don't have light? You know, it's going to be really, really interesting to see that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Brian?
Yeah, I guess it's my turn. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but definitely the world opening up. We've already talked about it. Yeah, the outpost, that is big on my list.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, when we go to the worlds today, it feels very narrow for what I think it could be. And I brought up the E3 demo from your earlier on. And, yeah, like, I got the image of it, like, you stepping out into this big world outside the gate, and there's, like, stuff in the distance. And, like, anyway, I think if they could achieve that, of course, they got to figure out how to direct that. That could be cool, but the worlds were too vacant in the end. Like, as cool as Mars is, it is like nothing.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful, but they're vacant.
Like,
there's nothing.
Like, I'm not going to fight the level 7 guys.
No, yeah. But that would be cool. And to your point, even like, what if you could like stop and buy stuff or get bounties or whatever? Could be a really cool change there. Stop and get one of those Cade drinks. That's first on my list. But
what
then
there were just like puzzles out in the world, like Wrath of the Machine, like, the
Zelda
exotic
right
raid.
Now. Yes.
Well, I was about to bring up Zelda, but yeah, like the Datto puzzle that he solved in the raid. Like, put those in the world.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let people don't even tell them they're there. Just let them discover it.
That's kind of slowed time between stuff.
Yeah. And even talking about that, even thinking like you drop into the Cosmodrome and then you have to drive for 20 minutes. Yeah, Zelda, I beat this temple. I can warp back there. Let me go into any place into the Cosmodrome or wherever, drop in, and maybe I have a ship. Why can't the ship take me to another designated point versus driving a sparrow for 20 minutes? I mean, stuff like that would be great too.
Yep. But yeah, anyway, just bigger, I think everybody, that's sort of an obvious one. But one oldie but a goodie that I'm going to bring back that I used to talk about a lot early on when I had more hopes for changing maybe what they would add to Taken King, and that is the gameplay mechanics itself. As a shooter, it feels awesome already. I mean, that's one thing Bungie always has going for it. I kind of call it the magic sauce, the magic dust. But
magic sauce.
Yeah, or dust, whatever. But I always have talked a lot about, call it the staged complexity of the way the characters react. It's funny, Zelda's a great one to bring up now, but the way you can like knock an item out of someone's hands and the way they behave differently. And I've always talked about that. Number one, I always talked about bosses, and they touched on it a little bit with the design, you know, of like, right, one, an eyes weak or whatever, but I'd love to see more of, right, the idea of shooting the shield out of the Cabal's hands, or you shoot the light point in the shield and it explodes. You know, rewards for
and
that.
They change their mechanics.
Or you shoot a leg off something. You know, just that idea, I think that's small touch if they could get it there, but like you get the idea. You could have one enemy that just the way you take it down becomes really interesting because you can target more than just head or body. And I'd really like to see that type of thing added to the game, and especially as it plays into your powers and who knows, you know.
I think they barely touched on that with the Shield Brothers, where you had to like mechanically tackle each a little differently. Like one put up a shield and one
there's also like the Ogre Strike, where he's got the eye. They use the ogre eye, and the ogre's chasing you. You got to kill the boss. Like, more complex mechanics.
Yeah, well, like,
are you talking about it mostly for main bosses or just like general characters in the game?
Yeah. Well, it's about like first, again, they've touched on it with bosses, but I think you could take it farther. Like, the ogre's a good example. It does break free of the chains eventually, and then it's walking around. But I mean, like,
Zelda, even look at the bokoblins. Like, there's different, there's like five bokoblins. One has a shield, one has a sword, one doesn't have any. He has a bow and arrow, and you have to figure out how to tackle
you. Yeah, they might just have different types of guns, you know. But again, it's like the idea that I could shoot a leg off, shoot an arm off, shoot a gun out of their hand, or actually, you're right, with the Cabal, they had a small touch of how it has that air blast that like messes you up. The more of that they can add, that it affects just kind of the core gameplay mechanic. I think that could like go really far of just, you know, again, when you hop in and play that strike over and over again, which we're still going to do in the end, it's just so much more varied. So I'd really look for something like that. Would
That'd be
awesome.
Cool. Yeah. John?
I mean, basically, you guys have touched on just about everything. I think for me personally, I want a killer campaign. I want a campaign that's cooler than the one that I've created in my head to contextualize the world. I would love to see much bigger spaces that are explorable. Like, basically, I mean, it's unfair to say this, but give it the Zelda Breath of the Wild treatment. Like, that's an open world where around every corner, it felt like there was something awesome to discover, and I want that to be the same way Destiny is, because you did a great job summarizing what they did with the world, which is that it is really beautiful. You want to explore it, but it's vacant. And then the third thing is just like, I would love to see them make this a gun skill game. I know that that's not very, that's a very I mean, they like to have Bungie and the community that has spawned up around this game has kind of been built on the fact that, like, everyone, it's very inviting and accepting. I kind of don't want that. I want it to be hard. I want
you like trials. Being
I, yeah,
very
I want it to be. If you, I don't want. This is a crude example, but it illustrates the point. And I'm not saying that this should happen, but I don't think that you should be able to beat me just because you have your super. If I'm a better shooter than you, like, I want it to be balanced so that it's a gun skill game. It's, can you shoot better than other people? Can you move better than other people? Can you outsmart them?
You want the DPS meter. You want to pour that salt all
not
over
even
the
not even just in terms
place
of PvE,
guy.
But yeah, like, I want it to be a gun skill game. I want it to be a competitive shooter that takes time and skill to be able to be effective at.
I think the first step to get there is they need to figure out a way to normalize the weapon system, because pistols will be king 1 week, and then the next month it's, you know, remember we went through it. It was pistols, Thorn was king with Last Word,
and
then
autos.
They changed those, and then it became
shotgun.
Yeah, I mean,
scout rifles.
I've brought up this example. Before, I can't remember, it would have been a long time ago, but there's a difference between equal and balance. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that guns need to be equalized across the board, but I do think they need to be balanced, right? So, for instance, in Halo 1, the pistol is super imbalanced. It's super powerful, right? But every single person has it, so it's balanced. That's what I think Destiny needs to adopt if they want this to be a gun skill game. I don't exactly know how they do that. I'm not a developer, but I do want it to be a gun skill game. I want it to feel like I'm good at this game because I'm a skilled player and not because someone's sherping me or because there are all these tools for me to be effective. I don't like that.
But would you want them to limit the weapons? See, that's where it's like, I don't know if that's actually possible.
Everybody gets, like, if one thing's going to be overpowered, make sure everybody has it.
Yeah,
like,
I get it. But
this philosophy that, like, kind of went into year one and year two / Taken King of Destiny, which is like every weapon type should be as effective-ish as every other weapon type. No, I think that's crap. Like, just if you want to use your auto rifle against my pulse or against my hand cannon when hand cannons are clearly better for PvP, then why do you think you deserve that? I don't think that that makes any sense.
You have a reason to have all those weapons, though. You know?
No, totally. And that's what I'm saying. I get that that's an unpopular thing. Like, people, they spend so much time to collect the weapons, and then they want a reason to use them. Totally get it.
You're saying if you're using a pistol close – or a hand cannon – don't call it a pistol. If you're using a hand cannon close range versus an auto rifle, depending on the scenario, the best weapon should win there.
No. The best player should win there.
Well, okay, equal players, you both have that weapon type. What happens? You just kill each other?
But that is how it works if you both have the same hand cannon today.
I'm talking about different archetypes.
For the most part, unless, like, yeah, I mean, why? I get where you're going at the extreme level, but it is designed that way.
So you guys both play a lot of trials.
Like, supers, I get.
How often do you trade?
I mean,
a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be like that.
Oh, but when it's not
why,
like
too
that.
Much
so
leeway.
Why
there's exactly too much leeway.
Explain why the trading happens so often in your mind, though.
Because there's
of, like, luck in the chamber. Is that what you're getting? Or, like, meaning where's the
that's part of it. Like, the equation's big, right? But what it amounts to is that there's a lot of mechanics and tools and weapons and playstyles and environments in the game, lags dedicated servers that contribute to this widening of narrowing of the skill gap. Like,
basically the meta is like seven weapons right now, and that's why we're seeing a lot of trading, I think.
Yeah, like, you can be a better player than other people, but overall, it's going to be – you're still having a hard time defeating those people.
I get what you're saying, but I can say, having crawled up the ranks of being just god-awful to now I can actually play decently – there is definitely a skill range. I mean,
I'm not saying
the Katies, I think they roughly add up to that.
He's not saying there's not, but you put in the work and you're good.
Yeah, but no, but he's saying that someone at, say, like, whatever, I'm at a one, let's say, and you're at a two, you feel like, you know, 9 times out of 10, it should be showing that you won that fight. Whereas maybe Bungie's balanced it in a way that I have a chance, even though I'm kind of a one skill. The way it's balanced,
yeah,
is kind of what you're getting at,
that's
right?
Generally what you're saying. And I don't think it's just, like, I think there's a lot that contributes to it, and I wouldn't necessarily be able to articulate all of the different factors, right? But it's stuff like, it can be minor stuff like stuck on geometry.
Oh, that's
versus
annoying.
Versus supers, versus they make all the weapon types kind of equal, and then when one weapon emerges as, like, the new meta, they nerf that weapon to all sorts of different things.
John, do you have any other point? We have a little bit of time left.
It should be more like Halo.
Yeah, a good way to put it.
To just one last point. I mean, what you're talking about is directly PvP versus PV. Is PvP. And so from that standpoint, that's what I think the tremendous challenge that Bungie, I think, has done a great job at. This game is both. This game is a PvE and PvP game. Mm-hmm. Somehow they've straddled that line amazingly well. Like, I don't know if that's actually possible without kind of negating the PvE side of things.
Sure, yeah.
I think they definitely learned a lot from what they were able to implement this game, and they're going to hopefully implement it in the sequel because they learned the challenges about balancing and all that stuff, and they're probably going to try something different for the sequel while still having all the great stuff we love, like exotics and fun drops.
Yeah. And feeling the same. Let's say this. Like, Destiny feels amazing. I actually don't want them to change a whole lot about how the game feels. The magic sauce. When you pick up that controller or mouse and keyboard, whatever it has to be, that feeling needs to be there. Like, I hope they don't change too much of the weight of the players and the gun feel and all that other stuff. Like, I hope all that stuff is retained. For as much as we want them to change about the sequel, that stuff needs to be there.
Definitely. We need to wrap it up, guys. But I want to thank James Duggan for stopping by on the show. You're probably going to be seeing a bit more of him on Fireteam Chat and on IGN covering Destiny on PC. Sean, next week we are going to be doing a pre-show here in San Francisco. You'll be popping in after the Bungie conference, which we'll be broadcasting on IGN.
May 18th. 9:45 a.m.
Around 11 a.m. You're the Fireteam Chat rep for here in San Francisco. We're going to be in L.A. playing the game a little bit and doing a post-show at 8 p.m. So the pre-show starts 9:45. Come over to IGN.com. We'll be talking about Destiny 2 and what we think we're going to see before presenting the Bungie stream and then doing our post-show.
Yeah.
And then we'll be coming back with a live Fireteam Chat from Los Angeles around 8. It'll be at 8 p.m.
Yes.
From L.A.
Isn't it weird to, like, say it finally?
I know. Yeah. It's a lot of Destiny.
It's less than a week. Like, it's so happening.
Close. It's so close.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's crazy to just think about it. I know everybody else is excited, but hearing it.
They have kept everything under wraps so much.
Yeah.
A screenshot.
Very little leak.
Or something.
I know. It's crazy.
Something's going to leak.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much.
We know who did it.
Yeah. Good
job, Destiny. Thank you guys so much for the show today. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.